go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Randy Love Ministries. This is Tim the Overseer, and today I have a special guest with me on the show. Today I have Minister Elder Bazaar. Amen. We thank the Most High for blessing us to come together to present this show to you today. The brother's going to come in, and he's going to talk about the 70 weeks prophecy, which was given to Daniel. Amen. So he's going to break down its meaning. When I was in school, I've heard a little bit about it. We never did a subject or anything on it. Just a little brief discussion. So not much knowledge prior to this did I have about the 70 weeks. I heard of it, never really just studied it. I saw it in my study guide, but just never really delved into it until I heard this brother some months ago this year talking about the 70 weeks as he broke down the 70 weeks on one of the shows I believe that we did together. And I also heard him on his show breaking down the 70 weeks. And I thought to myself, I said, huh, this is very important to the church and very interesting, amen, to kind of push this knowledge a little bit more about the 70 weeks prophecy. And what really intrigued me and just got my attention is the way that you broke down that last 7 years, how Israel had their last 7 years left. And I thought, yeah, that really caught my attention because what people need to understand is that we know where we are in history. The only mystery that Paul talked about was the ending of the church age. That's the only time frame ministry. Mystery. The only time frame that we know of is just that 7 year period. We don't know when it's going to begin. Now, we have an idea, amen. I know this brother will come in, he's going to break down, he's going to give us some knowledge and some insight on how the Antichrist is going to come on the scene, the possibility when the church is going to be out of here, and the 70 weeks, which is the last 7 years, which is the tribulation and Jacob's trouble, which is the last 3.5 years, the great tribulation. This brother's going to break it down, so we're going to get into it. And I'm just going to make a few statements and comments. I may have some questions myself based on the study because, I just did a little research on it since the brother came on to the show a few weeks ago. He's agreed. And I tell you that the calculating of the 69 weeks is amazing. How the Bible scholars and theologians and people who study the Bible like me and Elder Minister Bazaar, how this calculation is pinpoint, is spot on, and that I think that is just so amazing. And that's, I tell you, when you broke down that last 7 years, that just really amazed me because, again, we understand that a lot of these things are not preached in churches, and churches are severely in trouble when we're not preaching this prophecy of the end time doctrine on Christ's return. So many churches is just going on about, other things that I feel is not important. It's important, don't get me wrong, but when we start focusing on, materialistic things of this world and ministries begin to focus on that, that becomes very secondary compared to the return of Christ, amen, and our purpose as believers is not that important. So I'm going to stop talking, amen, brother to come on and introduce himself, and he's going to go ahead, and once he introduces himself, if you'll pass it back to me, I'm just going to read, just going to start it out just a little bit, and then from there I'll let you take it away, brother, all right? So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity that we have to come together.
Amen.
To break down this 70 week
prophecy
spoken by Daniel, the 70th week of the prophet Daniel that spoke long before the church age ever arrived. In fact, the Old Testament. Oh, let me introduce myself. Elder E.G. Bazaar from Warren, Ohio, preaching the gospel for 55 years. Telling the people, whoever Jesus Christ is Lord, all together, all by himself, He don't need nobody else. He did it all by himself. Oh, he used a couple of angels. Ooh. He used mankind to bring his son into the world. But actually, the Lord did it all by himself. And think for his
Amen.
Own wise wisdom that he has to bring salvation to us. And in bringing salvation,
that's right.
He used a lot of prophets in the Old Testament, spoke of the new, and the new speaks of the old. So you need both the Old Testament and New Testament to
Amen.
Properly interpret the word of God. And here I'm here this evening to break it down. Not what I say, not what I think, it's not my opinion. It's not no guesswork. This is true. God's word is true. Whatever
Amen.
Man tries to do, he can't bother. He can't touch it at all. So what we're going to do,
right.
Me and the elder, we're going to break it down. He's going to ask me questions, and I'm going to try to instill him with the
Amen.
Word of God. And we're going to go through the scriptures. We're going to stay with the scriptures as much as I can, because I can remember a lot of things without going through the scripture, but I want to infuse it into the listeners.
That's right.
There's hearing, because we definitely living in the last
yes, sir.
End time, getting ready to enter into this the 70th week.
Oh, yes.
69 is already the past, but the 70th week is coming up, and we're trying to get you straightened out so you can actually know, read what's in the Bible. So what you want to do, I'm going to turn it over back to him. He's going to have prayer, and then he's going to turn it back to me, and then we're going to get into it.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful, brother. Amen. That's why I love and enjoy doing ministry with you, and I love your knowledge and your wisdom and everything that you bring to the ministry. It is highly important to the church, especially during these times that we do not ignore these signs and seasons that we are currently living in. Amen. The seasons and signs
amen.
That we're currently living in. Amen. So with that being said, amen, I'm going to go ahead and say a quick prayer. And I'm just going to say something, just a little something pertaining to the 7 weeks. I'm going to give it right back to the brother. Amen. Dear most gracious
right,
Heavenly
brother.
Father, we thank you for
okay.
life itself. We thank you for the ultimate gift, amen, that you've blessed us with, Heavenly Father. We thank you for your son, Christ. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for saving our soul. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this spiritual gift. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, dear Heavenly Father, to lead us. Teach us and guide us, dear Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we pray that all flesh be removed and that we get into the Spirit and that this brother come forth and he bless the church. Amen. He bless the listeners and that I be blessed and that I learn. Amen. Let us put down all pride and self and flesh and get into the Spirit so that we may be open to your word, dear Heavenly Father, and hear this minister of your word, dear Heavenly Father, and that he may continue to bless your children, dear Heavenly Father. Again, we bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. All right.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Yes, sir. All right. Amen. So thinking about the 70 weeks, this prophecy is crucial to end time events. You know, given the remarkable circumstances that the circumstances currently that we see, and like right now, we're in this pandemic, and there's just not just this pandemic, but the 2,000 years from the time that Christ was crucified, and
yeah.
this knowledge that was blessed and given to Daniel, amen, the 70 weeks
Man.
That was given to him to also give to us, and so I think it's. You know, highly important. I'm not going to do much talking because I want to give it to you. So let me just go ahead and just
right.
turn over to you now. I have some questions, but I'm going to hold off on it. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So, brother, go ahead and kick it off. I'm going to go over to Daniel, I believe it's the Daniel, the ninth chapter. I'm going to be in that
That's
book.
That's where I am.
While
That's where I am.
Amen. Amen. Look at that. So, okay, so we working, amen, in sync with the Holy Spirit once again. So let me go ahead and go over to Daniel 1. And, brother, go ahead.
All right. Greetings. What we're going to get into is we're going to let you know there is a God. Automatically,
Amen.
It's a God. We don't have to discuss it. We don't have to put him in on test tube and see if we can find it. He's already here.
Amen.
Before I got here, he'll be here after I'm dead and gone. God is the creator, maker of all mankind. He knows everything, sees everything, never made a mistake. He's the eternal God. He's God all by himself. And in the Word of God, actually, the Bible covers about 7,000 years of human history from the creation of Adam and Eve until the end of the millennium covers 7,000 years. 6,000 years of that have been practically fulfilled. We get ready to go into the seventh millennium, but because of miscalculation of man's calendar, God is not going by the Gregorian calendar. He's going by the Jewish calendar, because the Jewish calendar has 360 days in a year, because each month is 30 days, no more, no less. So we got to get the time frame right, and we can understand when Christ came, he came right on, I said easily, Jewish time, because every Bible prophecy that ever was prophesied on Jewish time. And you say, well, why the Jew? Well, the Jew is God's chosen people through Abraham. And because of Abraham's obedience and Abraham's faith and Abraham's integrity and Abraham's feared God and obeyed God, because God told him, since you have obeyed me, you have been very, very attentive to what I got to say, out of you, I'm going to bless you with a nation. And this nation will be my chosen nation. This nation is chosen by me, not by the local board meetings or not by the judges, but by God Almighty. And it's because of Abraham's faith, God was pleased with Abraham. And he said, out of you, I'm going to raise up a nation that will obey. And God knew that he had to get a nation to represent him. And the only way you can represent God is through faith. You cannot represent God through nothing else but faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. So we found out that there's 360 days in the year of the Jewish calendar. Gregorian calendar is 365 days, so there's going to be a small miscalculation. So we're going to have to go by the Jewish calendar. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot the 12 tribe of Israel. And God said, I'm going to use Israel to be my chosen nation, because I want to show all the other nations, which are heathens. Heathens meaning they don't know God. They got their own God. They worship the moon, the stars, the alligators. They worship anything that moved and things that didn't move. So they didn't know nothing. They had no acquire of the God that the Jews was introduced to. And the Jews was introduced to God in Egypt. And when they was introduced to Egypt, Moses was called to go down and tell Pharaoh to let the people go. And when Moses got in contact with God, and Moses said, what name I'm going to go down in? What I'm going to tell Pharaoh who sent me and all this? And he said, and the Lord said, don't you worry about that. You tell him I am that I am. So that was the way that Pharaoh was introduced to God, but he didn't pay no attention to it. But when he told the Israelites that the I am that I come in contact with on Mount Sinai is the I am of the universe. He's the I am of all I am. There ain't no other I am but God. So God introduced himself to Pharaoh. Then Moses introduced him to the Israelites, and he told him, he said, why are you going up into the land and into the mountains? I'm going to come down and give you the Ten Tablets and give you the rituals and give you the laws and give you the moral laws, give you the spiritual laws, give you the laws of how to conduct yourself. He gave 614 laws to the Israelites, to the Jews, to the God's chosen one. And he dealt with them for 40 years in the wilderness. Before that, the Jews were in Egypt for 400 years. By the beginning for 400 years, they was under slavery. Somebody had to deliver them. The only one that could deliver them out of Egypt was the God of the universe, the great I am. He delivered them. He brought them through the land of Canaan. He brought them through the wilderness. He brought them on up to the Jordan River. He brought them on up until they took them 40 years to get to the land flowing with milk and honey. And when they got there by the hand of God. They didn't call no police. They didn't call no army. They didn't call nobody. They depended on God. And God was showing the other nations, hey, y'all might have your own God. But God said, I am the Lord God. I'm the God of Israel. Y'all got gods that you have to set up statues, and you have to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to worship idolatry. You got to sacrifice your babies. You got to put them on the altar. Mm-hmm. And they said, no, that you're heathenism. But the God that I'm, the God that I am, is self-existent. I don't need y'all. Y'all need me. So he was showing Israel, I'm going to show you the other nations that this God that y'all are looking for, I'm the one that's going to protect you and give you the laws that they may give it to you and show you that there's only one true living God. So, to make a long story short, God used Israel all the way from Egypt until this present day. Israel is still God's chosen people. Israel did all right. They did all right for a certain period of time, but it came to a point that Israel became so wicked and so stiff-necked and so backwards that God said, you are my people, and then you are not my people. He said, but because I promised Israel, because I promised Abraham, Jacob, and all those boys, I promised them that I'm going to raise up a nation, and you are going to be a part of that nation, and I'm going to show the Gentile nations in the last days, in the last days, that I am your God, and you are my people, and you are a representative to me of my holiness. My holiness. God said I required holiness, and I'm going to get holiness, and I'm going to use Israel to show you that I am holy, and Israel failed. When Israel failed, God got to a point that he said, y'all have come like a backsliding heifer. Y'all have been so disobedient that I am going to do something for you in the last days, because the Israelites failed. They failed God in the Old Testament. And by them failing God in the Old Testament, God had to cut them off for a period of time to teach them that you don't rebel against me. And he said, I'm going to bring you back into the land in the last days. And in the very last day, I'm going to let you preach the gospel. I'm going to let you preach the gospel for what? 7 years. I'm going to let you preach the gospel at the end time. And he said, when the end time comes, and just before the end time comes, I'm going to cut you off. When I cut you off, you're going to be cut off at the cross because y'all rejected me. Because you rejected me, I'm going to cut you off, and then I'm going to grab you in. I'm going to grab the Gentiles in, and I'm going to bring in the church age. But when he brought in the church age, he started with 120 Jews. The Jews rejected him for the first 12 years. They rejected Christ. And by them rejecting Christ, God said, all right, I'm going to stir up some jealousy. I'm going to cut y'all off and grab the Gentiles in. And that brought the church age in. When he brought the church age in, that brought it up to 2,000 years of church history. And since he brought it into church history is almost over. The church age is almost over. And by almost being over, God says, I've got to get my people back into the land. And when I get them back into the land, I'm going to let them preach the gospel. I'm going to let them preach it for 7 years. The church is going to have 2,000 years to preach the gospel. And I'm sad to say, And I'm guilty. We all are guilty. We have come short of the glory of God to preach the gospel like it's supposed, to be preached, because it's been preached, but it's not being preached the way God wanted to be preached. And that is, here's the gospel. The gospel is, save Jesus and him crucified, buried in the grave, 3 days and three nights. They got up with all power in heaven and earth. And through that, man can be retained, reconciled back to God, and the church has been preaching it. And since they have not been preaching it, all right, y'all don't have your opportunity. You don't have 2,000 years for the church to come together. And seem like the church cannot come together because you've got so many different doctrines and heresy. And Satan has always tried to prevent God's people, the Jew, and he's trying to prevent the church from being built upon the foundation of the burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I laid that down for you because I'm gonna be coming back at it. And when I come back at it, you can understand why God cut the Jews off and when and why he did all that. So what I want to do is if you have a question right now, bring it on in and I'll pull it out so I can come back at you.
Amen. Amen, brother. That was nice, brother. Amen. I like how you started from the very beginning of it. Amen. And then just kind of broke it down to up to the point of the tribulation. Currently, right now, probably more some comments. I probably have some questions in a little bit, but I guess one question that I can ask is, what is the meaning of weeks according to the 70 weeks of years? Because I know when I first heard it, and it wasn't a subject that was that we went in too deeply, but when I saw the 70 weeks, I always interpreted it as weeks, but then they were saying, no, it's not weeks. So if you can break down the meaning of the weeks, I'm thinking it's little weeks, but it's not weeks. It appears to be years because when you say that last week, that's of the 69 weeks, I learned.
Right.
Is the first part, and you said that correct me if I'm wrong, but you said that the Jewish people or the nation of Israel was cut off, and they have one more week. Now one last week is going to start that 7-year tribulation, which is that last week, which is a period of 7 years. I thought that was so amazing. I was like, wow. And so just if you don't mind, so the question is. What is the meaning of weeks? That was one of my questions.
Okay. Here you go. Jesus asked the disciples, how many times should I forgive my brother? Mm-hmm. And he said, seven times. He's supposed to give him 70 times 70.
Amen. There it is.
there it is. 70 times. So when Jesus told the disciples, no, that's not 70 times. 70, that's not 70 times 7 a whole year. That's a day. In other words, you should forgive your brother. If he offends you 470 times a day, you're supposed to forgive him.
Wow. Hey, man, that's beautiful.
So Jesus was showing them, the disciples, his grace. His grace. You forgive your brother 70 times 70. The number 7 is one of the greatest numbers mentioned in all the Bible, more than any other number. 7 represent completeness. Complete. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
So 70 times 70 is 490.
Okay.
The Jews were in captivity in Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were in captivity in Babylon, they were in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. And the Lord said, now, I'm going to institute it to the disciples 70 times 7. So the Lord said, I'm going to 7 times this year you was in Babylon, I'm going to seven times that year. In other words, if you was in that 70 years, I'm going to give you 49 years to forgive you. 70 times 70. So what you're saying, since they were in captivity, I'm going to give you 490 years to complete
years, right.
your fulfillment of your duty on this earth. Because the Jews had a great duty to do. They were to represent God. Not being God, but represent God's holiness of living. And so the Jews disobeyed, and God said, all right, I'm going to call the Babylonians to come down and take and strip your cities and burn the temple and desecrate the temple and take your children, put them in chains, and I'm gonna your economy is gonna fall, your political world is gonna fall, your financial world is gonna fall, your everything's gonna fall because you have sinned against me, and I gave you plenty of time.
Right.
I sent you prophets, I sent you seers, I sent you prophet after prophet. You didn't want the true prophets. You wanted the false prophets. And by you listening to the false prophets, you brought yourself into captivity. So I'm going to take you right on down into Babylon. I'm going to take them from out of your land. I'm going to let you stay in Babylon for 70 years. And the Jews stayed in Babylon for 70 years. And when the 70 years were up, God started to restore Jerusalem and the religious system. He started restoring the economical system because the Jews were set free from Babylon. And all the Jews did not go back to Babylon because they had been scattered all over the face of the world. They are scattered so much they almost came extinct. But what was going on in the heavenly? What was going on in the heavenly? Satan says, if I can get rid of the Jews, if I can eliminate the Jew, if I can persecute the Jew, if I can kill the Jew, if I can boil him in oil, if I can strip them, guess what? I can take control of the world because there won't be no God who will be able to defeat me. And if I get rid of the Jew, that means that God don't exist. If I get rid of the Jew, that means God ain't got no power. If I get rid of the Jew, that means Christ will not come. If I get rid of the Jew, the Bible couldn't be written. If I get rid of the Jew, there is no nation on the planet that could show the example of God's holiness and his righteousness and his power and his glory and his everlasting, eternal being. And Satan tried it until... If you would read the book of Lamentations, you will read the book of Jeremiah, because Jeremiah wrote Lamentations, and he talked about, he gave a whole picture of how low Israel got to a point that they were eating their own babies, that the women were starving, that the children were starving, and it got so bad that the other countries were making fun of them. And if you read in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah was the one that God instituted. Say, now look, y'all got out of Babylon, go on back to Jerusalem and start rebuilding it. Because I'm going to deal with you for 490 years. And since I'm going to deal with you for 490 years and you have learned your lesson to a certain point, that I am the Lord God of Israel, and beside me there is no other, I'm going to restore the city. I'm going to restore the nation of Israel. I'm going to bring them back into the land, but it's going to take 490 years.
Amen.
That I am do this. In order to do this, I'm doing this, number one, because I'm going to send. I'm going to send a Savior. And I need the Jewish people. I need my people so that he can come down through 42 generations through the tribes of Israel. And I'm going to let him be born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. I'm going to let him stay on this earth for 33.5 years. I'm going to let him go to the main point in which he came from, and that was to die for the sins of the world. I'm going to let him suffer for the sins of the world. I'm going to let him be nailed to a cross for the sins of the world. I'm going to let him be persecuted, and I'm going to let him be beaten and whipped beyond recognition for the sins of the world. I've got to do this. I need to do this because John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall never perish but have everlasting life. And the only way I can do it, I got to use the seed of Abraham. And when he started using the seed of Abraham, Mary and Joseph came on the scene. And before they came on the scene, I want to read to you that ninth chapter of Daniel. I'm going to read a little bit of that, and you can stop me. If you feel like stopping me in some places, I want you to stop me, and we'll analyze just a few verses and see what Daniel was talking about when he said, was praying to the Lord. He says, in the ninth chapter, in the first year of Darius, of Syria, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realms of the Chaldeans, which is the Babylonians. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he should accomplish 70 years. All right.
Mm-hmm.
70 years of desolation of Jerusalem. So Jerusalem was desolated for 70 years.
Right.
It was shut down. People would go by Jerusalem and say, well, is that the city of the king? Is that the city of Israel? Boy, they was heckling and jackling. They were saying, oh, yeah, okay. But Daniel was in Babylon, and this is the prayers that he was saying. He said, I set my face into the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication and fasting and sackcloths and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. Now, here's Daniel, the prophet. A man of God, he's confessing. He said, oh, Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that what love him, to them that keep his commandments. Listen what he said. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgment. Lord, this is a prayer, buddy, because Daniel is confessing his own sin. He's confessing the sins of the people. He's confessing the sins of the judges and the lawyers and the high, sophisticated Jews that felt like they didn't need God. And he says, neither have we hearkened unto thy servant. He don't send prophets which speak in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, to all the people of the land. Oh, Lord, righteous belongeth unto thee, but unto us his, but we own confusion of faces at this day to the men of Judea and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all the Israel that are near, that are far off, to all the countries, whether they have driven them. So the Lord has driven them all over the country, all over the parts of the earth. Because their trespasses, that they have trespassed against thee. Oh, Lord, to us belongeth confusion of faces, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have what? Sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belongeth mercy and forgiveness. Though we have rebelled against him, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in thy laws which are set before us and thy servant to a prophet. I'm going to throw an insert in there. America is confused. America have rebelled against God. America is sick. America is turning their backs on God. That's why we have a confusion. That's why we have so much trouble, because we have rejected the laws and the spirit and the crucifixion, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, America has rejected. We have a form of godliness, but we ain't got no power. And God is dealing with America right now. And it's not coronavirus that I'm concerned about. It's about saving
right.
of the souls of millions
That's
of
right.
teachers and deacons and church members.
Amen.
And what about the choir member and the ladies' aid and all these organizations that we got? And we don't forgot. The Lord thy God. We think we're doing God's work, and it's not of God.
That's right.
Because God told us to be what? Witnesses. That's it. Witnesses. And we're not witnesses. Get back to the Daniel now. Yeah, all of Israel
Amen.
Have trespassed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey the voice. The curse is upon us. And the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned. There it goes again. Sinned against him. And he has confirmed the words which we spake against us in our judges, that judges us by bringing up on us a great evil. Oh, man. I got to go back and insert again, brother. I'm sorry. It said, but America has inserted with evil. We living in, I love this country. I love what it stands for. But America has become evil. It's become conspicuous. It's become rebellious. It's become so sick that men don't know their left hand from the right hand. Families don't even know, men don't even know that it's a rightful thing. Amen. Marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. And whatever you do inside your bed, that's your business. It's the drug addicts. We got baby killers. We got everything that's against God. And he said, I can't take it for so much longer. A-Y. So he's giving us mercy. It's a warning. This coronavirus is a warning. It's just a touch of the iceberg of what's going to happen in the seventh week.
That's right.
Said, and it's written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet we made not our prayer. We ain't praying. America ain't praying. Amen.
That's
preachers
right.
ain't praying. Come on. Let's go back to church. Let's go back to church and listen. We might not have a big crowd, but let's go back to church and meet the Lord there, and he can do something. But if we just stay home
That's
and
right.
think we're gonna do God's work through this viral thing and this virtuality, that's all right in a sense. But let's fellowship together. Let's commune together. Yeah, wear your mask, but we don't have to get so friendly that we can't just say hi and bye. But let's love one another and get right with
Amen.
God. Tell somebody. Time is winding up. We ain't got too much time. Therefore, has the Lord watched
right.
upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his work. Everything that God does is right. It's right, brother. And like we saw all the storms and the tornadoes and the fire and the earthquakes and the pestilence and the diseases and wars and killing and murder and the Black Lives Matter and all this matter. But let me tell you what really matters. Do you know who Jesus Christ is? Do you know that he died 2,000 years ago? Don't you know the seventh week
right.
is getting ready to come up? Don't you know that the Jews are coming back in the land? And it says in the 15th verse, and now, O Lord, our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast begotten the renown as it is in this day. For we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord. And Daniel been saying that all through that. O Lord, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, thine anger and thy fury turn away from the city of Jerusalem and the holy mountain, because our sin. For the iniquities of our fathers in Jerusalem, and thy people are become a reproach. America has become a reproach. And I'm using Israel as an example of what happens when you sin against God, when a nation sins
Sure.
against God. And there's no loopholes for the Jewish people, because the Jewish people blatantly out rejected Jesus Christ. They said, we don't want it. And the Lord already told me, say, when you reject me, you're going to suffer the consequences. You're going to suffer great distress in the land. You're going to be confusing the faces. But in all that, I am going to bring you back in another generation. I'm going to bring you back until where you can deal with me and I can deal with you and you can turn from your wicked ways. So America is getting a warning. And America is saying, oh, my God, we having a good time in church. Oh, we just praising the Lord, and we just doing this. Oh, we shouting and singing, speaking in tongues. But let me tell you, where is the love of God in your
That's right.
heart?
Amen.
Do you love God and not go tell somebody? Go tell somebody
That's
about
right.
this crucifixion. about this death. There wasn't no picnic on the cross. People think they take the cross so mild and so, oh, well, he just died. No, no, he did more than die, buddy. He gave up his royal throne. He gave up his deity. And he became a man. He became a man just like us. And there was no other way that he could become a man but through the seed of Abraham. And because he came the seed of Abraham, the Lord said, all the families of the nations of the world shall be blessed through you. And let me tell you, thank God for the Jewish people, because I've been blessed ever since I was born because of the Jews, what they've done. They brought the Savior into the world, and I had opportunity to accept him, and I accepted him, and guess what? He is my Savior. He is my Lord.
That's right.
And I'm going to serve him to the day I die, and I'm going to give up. I'm going to give up my little self-pity and my little self-righteousness and say, you take it, Lord. Make me righteous as you are righteous through your blood. And that's the only thing that can bring us back to God. So what happened? What happened?
Amen.
God gave Israel the instructions on how to sacrifice animals to show that there was a better sacrifice coming. They obeyed up to the time they were captured for Babylon to be captive, and they brought it back into Jerusalem. Now we're living in the last days, and since it's the last days, the Jews still think Judaism is in power, and Judaism has been eliminated because the animal sacrifice has been eliminated because Jesus Christ ripped the veil temporarily from top to bottom when he died on Calvary cross. Now men don't have to have a priest. They go to the one that died on Calvary cross, because he is our high priest now. We go directly to him. By us going directly to him, we don't have to have nobody standing on our left or on our right to talk to Jesus, because he is the emancipator. He is the reconciler. He is the one that reconciled the world to himself by his blood. Now, we're getting close to the start of the 49. Now, what I want to do, if you have an input in that between what I said,
amen.
I'll come back.
Yes, sir. Okay. Amen. Good word. Amen. Good word, brother. Amen. Good word. I'm really enjoying the teaching, and especially coming out of Daniel, the ninth chapter, because I was reading that. But there was a verse that – there was a couple of verses, but there was one verse I want to talk about real quick. And I know that you was reading the first part of Daniel from the first verses. I think you ended somewhere between the 13 to 15 verses. So if we want to come out and finish that, definitely I want you to go back and finish. But what I want to look at was a key verse within the 70 weeks, because – The details of the 70 weeks started at the 20th verse of Daniel, the ninth chapter, and it concluded in the last verse of the ninth chapter, verse 27.
Uh-huh.
But verse 24 really stood out to me. And as I stated before, and you mentioned it earlier, you said that God has his calendar for the Jews. And I think that's amazing, because we're on a different calendar. You said I think it's called the Gregorian calendar you was talking about?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right. And so I just want to read verse 24 of Daniel 9. And then after that, I actually do have another question for you. But and then we'll go back to what you were saying. But, man, I mean, that was beautiful, the way that you had broke down the 70 times 7 years, because – as I stated, you know, the 7 days of years, you know, it's funny how you have to really dig a little deeper to come up with the correct interpretation, because when you say 70 weeks, I'm thinking literal 70 weeks. And I'm like, well, you know, how does this make sense?
Uh-huh.
And I've always wondered, how did they come up with the time frame of the tribulation? Now, I do remember this. According to the 70 weeks, this was a discussion that was in class. Again, we never really had an assignment on it, but it was just a discussion. And the discussion was, you know, was the interpretation, could we be incorrect on our years of the tribulation? And this is what they were saying, that no, it is just 7 years. And even Christ even prophesied and stated over in the Matthew 24th chapter, he said, at least those days were shortened. No flesh would be saved. And because Christ basically said that he has to come back. That's how bad and terrible it's going to be during the great tribulation, Jacob's trouble, during that last 3.5 years. Now, the whole tribulation is going to be something that we don't want to be here to witness. But especially the last 3.5 years, you don't want no part of any part of the tribulation. You want to get saved.
No, you don't.
And receive your salvation now, because I'm going to tell you right now,
if
you have any godly sense about yourself, amen, go ahead and get it right with the Most High, because you don't want to be left here playing in church, amen, as the elder said. You don't want to be messing around and playing in church and miss Christ
coming back.
And this is why Christ said, and this is why Paul, he reiterated, he said, you know, behold, he comes as a thief in the night. Watch.
Yeah.
He said, be ready. Make sure you are ready.
Because
you can miss Christ, and you can go to church, and so many people in church going to miss the return of Christ. Amen.
Miss
and so
Christ.
Many people is going to be lost thinking that they're going to make it just because they attend church. It's more than that. Amen. So we don't want people to miss heaven. We don't want you to miss the return of Christ, the gathering together, the rapture of the church. We don't want you to miss that. That's going to be so significant. We got to get the word out. We have to preach the word, preach the gospel, preach the truth, preach salvation. Amen. As the brother said, amen.
As I said before, amen.
20 years of my ministry has been nothing but about salvation. I preach it over and over again because I'm concerned about your soul. I want you to be saved. Amen. I want you to receive salvation. I don't want no one to be lost and to miss this. And so, anyway, the calculation of the 7 years, amen, the calculation, there was speculation, could it be 700 years? And they said, no, it couldn't be 700. There's no way in the world, according to what Christ and what Daniel spoke, they both said, Daniel prophesied, Christ prophesied, that there was never a time before like it, not to this time. Even after, will it be in those 7 years? So it couldn't be 700. That is just too long for such an evil to be before the Most High and to allow to go on 700 years. And then they say, well, could it be 7 years? Can we miss Cali and say, okay, we know, we all agree that 700 years is just too many years. Could it possibly be 70 years? And we say, well, no, the 70 weeks couldn't be 70 years, because 70 years spiritual speculation. 70 years is still too long for the types of things. The earth wouldn't survive what's going to come. Because if you remember, we talked about the bowls. I know that I've been teaching in Revelation. We talk about those seals and the judgments of Christ, the judgment of Christ on the earth, the burning, the famine. Man couldn't last 70 years dealing with those type of circumstances and judgments for 70 years. There's just no way possible. So we conclude that the 7 years is the correct time frame for the tribulation, and the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, which I call the Great Tribulation, which some happen to know as Jacob's trouble, which is the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Amen. And brother, I really enjoy how you just breaking it down. And like I say, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that you were saying that the 69 weeks was up until the cross. I believe you had said. And now we know that we are in the church age. Now, this is the mystery age, because this is the age that Paul acknowledged that we don't know when the church age is going to end. No one knows the day or the hour of Christ's return. So we know that when the Bible tells when Paul was saying to watch, no man knows the day or the hour. Well, he wasn't talking about at the end of the 7 years when Christ returns. Because we know at the end of the 7 year period of the tribulation that Christ is going to return. What Paul was referring to was the mystery of the church being gathered together, being raptured, amen, to heaven. That was the mystery that Paul spoke about. that this is something that no one was expecting, only those who are reading and studying the word. Amen. Because, you know, most people in the church are not even aware of the time frames that the church, that Christ is coming back to get the church. So I have some more to say, but I don't want to hold up from you, Brother Abe. I want to give it back to you here in just one moment. But what I want to talk about before I ask this question was Daniel 9 and 24. I'm going to read this verse real quick because I think that this sevenfold blessings and promises, amen, to the Most High's people. It says in verse 24, it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up, amen, the vision and prophecy and anoint the Most Holy. Amen. I thought that was so beautiful.
Amen.
So within that, there are seven blessings and promises. It says to finish the transgression. That was one. Amen. You see that in the scripture. Amen. Then the other one was to make an end of sins. Amen. So that's a promise that sin will reign no more. There won't be any more sin, no more transgressions. Amen. And then the promise of it says to make reconciliation for iniquity. Amen. So because of sin has separated man from the Most High, we shall be reconciled. I believe the brother touched on that. I think that's coming from St. John, the third chapter, verses 15 and 16, that God so loved the world, amen, that God gave his only begotten Son. Amen. That's what is referred to, the reconciliation for sin. He's going to reconcile, man. This is your opportunity to reconcile your spiritual soul back to the Heavenly Father and give it back to him and let him rule and reign in your life. Amen. And then, amen. It says, I believe the brother touched on this. He said, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Amen. We know that after the seven-year period, people talk about the end of the world, and most people don't even understand what the end looks like. The end is glorious, especially for the believers, because Christ is going to come back. Amen. He's going to come back, and he's going to set things right with the church and with the believers, and we're going to reign with him for 1,000 years. As I stated before, it was shocking to me that people had been in church many years. People in church had no idea or no clue that we were going to reign with Christ at the end of time for 1,000 years before we start eternity. I was in shock to figure that out. Like, man, what have y'all been learning? What have y'all been reading? What have y'all been taught all these years The pastors are not preaching this type of teaching in the church?
Exactly.
It is an indictment. Amen. You said it best, brother. Amen. The first part of Daniel. Daniel had to pray. Daniel's prayer, amen, is that he had to ask for forgiveness. Amen. Even he himself, he said, all of us, none of us, amen. That's, and Paul said it best, there is none righteous, no, not one, for we are all as filthy rags. Amen. We have all, amen, amen. The elder touched on his head. He said, we have all fallen short of the glory. I'm guilty of it. Everyone is guilty of it. I don't care how righteous you think you are. And I tell people all the time, don't put no man, and definitely don't put me up on those pedestals. We are men.
No.
We are subject to fail. Amen. We are the only one that's found righteous. Amen. Over in Revelation, it talks about the Lamb of God was worthy. It said, in heaven and in earth and on the earth. Amen. Did you catch that? On the earth.
Amen.
That no one was found worthy. Amen. Because John cried. John was crying. And the angel, he said, you know what, they had to comfort him because one was found worthy to loose the seals, amen, and bring about this judgment. Amen. Now watch this. And he said to seal up the vision, amen, and to seal up the prophecy, amen, and to anoint the Most Holy. These are the sevenfold promises and blessings of the Most High under the Messiah, amen, for Israel, for the nation of Israel. I thought that was so beautiful, brother. Amen. I think one day We may have to do a little bit more with this, amen. But I'm going to turn it back over to you. Yeah. I'm going to ask the question, amen. I just thought that was so neat how you've been breaking down that 70-year, man. And I just think it's just so neat how it's like a puzzle. And it fits in perfectly.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
It fits right in perfectly. And it explains that last week, that last week, which is going to be at the the 7-year tribulation before Christ returns, that 7-year tribulation. And also, I want to read this real quick. Amen. I'm going to turn it back over. I'm going to turn it back over to you. Amen. Verse 26, I'm just going to skip down a little bit for the sake of the hour. It says, and after 62 weeks, amen, shall Messiah be cut off. Amen. I probably need to let you break that down because I don't want to mess it up. Amen. I've been looking at that, but I want to make sure it's done. Amen. Amen. But it says, but not for himself. Amen. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Amen. From what I understand, that's talking about the Antichrist and the person at the time of Christ. Amen. They was from the Roman, I believe it was like the Roman Empire, something to that effect. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna have the brother break it down, amen, that they believe that this man of sin is gonna come on the scene is coming from the traditional, because people think Roman Empire is dead, but I believe it's hidden. Amen. It could be dead, but I believe it's hiding. Amen.
All right.
There's still some control there. Amen. But it says, and the prince that shall come shall destroy the city, and the sanctuary. Amen. And I believe this is talking about Jerusalem. It says, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the war, amen, desolations are determined. Now watch verse 27. I'm gonna ask my question. I'm going to turn it back over to you before the top of the hour. It says, and he shall confirm the covenant. Amen. I believe this is talking about the Antichrist with many for 1 week. So he's gonna make a covenant with the world powers, amen. And see, like I said, amen, I always thought it was that 1 week. Could never understand that 1 week. I thought it was literally, amen, 1 week, amen. But now after studying and talking to you and listening to you, brother, amen, you confirmed it, and you've done a great, awesome job in teaching on this, that 1 week is actually talking about the 7-year period, amen. You let me know if I'm wrong,
yes,
but it's talking about the tribulation. And then why now? I
yes,
think what really, really revealed to me that, yes, this is talking about the tribulation. It says, and in the midst. Well, that word midst, if you look at the interpretation, means to be like in the middle, the center. So in the middle of the week, amen. I didn't know what it was talking about. I thought in the middle, so you mean out of 7 days, amen. I thought it was talking about, amen, in the middle of the week. But he's talking about in the middle of the 3.5-7-year period, the Antichrist, amen. Watch this. He says, in the midst of the week shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. He's going to break a covenant.
Yeah.
And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation and the determined, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Amen. That brother's gonna come in. I'm gonna let him have the rest of the let him kind of finish breaking it down. I may come back with some questions, something I may interject, but if he wants me to, if not, I'll let him take it. But I just have a question, amen. I know you're gonna break that down a lot better for me and for us. But you know, is the 3.5-year period, amen. Okay, which the last part is known as I call it the Great Tribulation. Some call it Jacob's
Trouble.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. So I'll let you break that down, amen, to the days and to the months, amen, which some can calculate. Amen. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. Hey, do me a favor, Doc. There's a scripture in the Bible in Romans where Paul talks about the Lord shall do a short work upon the earth.
Okay.
Have you ever read that?
No, sir.
All right. Ooh, man, I'm trying to find it. It seems like I've been reading for the for a long time. The Lord shall do a short work upon the earth, and that short work is the 7 year tribulation. He's gonna do a short work upon the earth. I'll tell you, I'm gonna find this before I get off here tonight.
You know what I think, and I could be wrong, but now that you mention it, you said Romans, right?
Yes, Romans.
I want to say between Romans 9 and Romans 11th chapter, but let me do some research as well. I could be wrong because I think while I've been teaching in Revelation, I believe I may have ran across that short verse or context, but I could be wrong.
Got it.
But,
I got it.
Yes, sir.
I got it. Hold on.
You got it?
Okay.
Where's it at?
This is the 9th chapter. You're right. The 9th chapter.
Amen.
The 9th chapter, the 28th verse, Paul writes these words. He says, He will finish the work.
Wow.
And cut it short in righteousness because of a short work will the Lord make up on the earth. Now, that's the 7 year tribulation. That's Paul was telling us there that just before Christ comes back to the earth, there's going to be a 7 year tribulation. It's going to be a short work week. Now, you heard of a short work week.
Yes, sir.
Now, out of all the 6,000 years, the Lord says at the end, I'm going to do a short work upon the earth, and he's going to do the short work upon the earth with 7 years that the Jews will preach the gospel.
Amen.
That 7 years of tribulation on a short work will the Lord make up on the earth. So we're getting ready to go into that short work week according to Revelation, because when Revelation comes in, the 4th chapter of Revelation says that Apostle John said, I looked up and I saw heaven, and when I saw heaven, I was caught up in the spirit. But that's the rapture of the church. And when the rapture of the church comes, then the Lord is going to start the short work week. That short work week would be 7 literal years compared to the 490 years that he owed the Jews. And if you take 483 years and add 7 on to that, you got 490 years. God has finished the work with the Jews up on the earth and to bring righteousness in. Now, what we're going to do real quick. Well, we'll do real quickly. I want to go back to that verse that you had, 9th chapter, the 24th verse of Daniel.
Yes, sir.
Well, go back up there to the 21st verse. It says, Daniel is telling here, is writing here. He said, yeah, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being called to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication and the commandments came forth, I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, Daniel didn't know what was going on. Daniel was this is kind of puzzled, man. I'm a prophet, and I can't understand what's going on, what God's going to do with the people, with
That's
Israel.
Right.
So the angel, Gabriel, broke down the message. Now, here's the message.
Amen.
You just read it. You just explained it. Here is the mystery. Here is the understanding of what God is getting ready to do in these last days, because all of the 483 years has been fulfilled, and it was fulfilled at the cross. Because
That's right.
Jesus Christ cut off at the cross, he cut the Jews off.
That's right.
He cut the Jews off 7 years short of dealing with the Jewish people, 7 years short, because they had rejected him. And them rejecting the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Crucified One, the Great I Am, the beginning and the end, they rejected him and said, now I'm going to cut you off short of 490 years, and I'm going to conclude the 490 years at the end and at the calling away of the rapture of the church. When I rapture the church,
amen,
I'm going to bring you back in that will conclude the 490 years that I owe you, which will be 7 years of tribulation period up on the earth, specifically, now listen to me, specifically for the Jewish people. Thank God for the Jewish people,
mm-hmm,
that God is going to deal with them, that the world will hear the gospel. I ain't talking about gossip. I'm not talking about some kind of funny doctrine. I'm not talking about some Mickey Mouse, Stim Sham doctrine that somebody will make up. I'm talking about the gospel.
That's
and
right.
And the gospel is about the burial, the death, the suffering of Jesus Christ, that he knew that was the only way that man could be saved. Because without the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the cross,
mm-hmm,
there wouldn't be no 7-year tribulation. There wouldn't be no mark of the beast. There wouldn't be no 666. I mean, the Lord would just destroy the world.
That's right. That's right.
He promised the Jews, look, I'm going to restore y'all. And in restoring you,
amen,
I am going to be able to let the gospel be preached to all the world through the Jewish people. Now, whenever you hear a Jew preaching Jesus Christ as a nation, you better believe it. Something getting ready to come down, brother.
Amen.
And the world can understand it, because the Lord said that if you bless my people and you pray for my people, Apostle Paul says we indebted to the Jew. I owe the Jew something. Through Jesus Christ, I owe the Jew what? I owe the Jew the love of God in my heart to witness to the
amen
Jew and let them know that the Messiah that they rejected is the Messiah that Isaiah talked about. And the Messiah that Isaiah talked about is found in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And there's one scripture in the Torah that the Jews will not accept, and that chapter is the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, because it reveals the crucifixion of the Messiah, and they don't want to accept it.
Wow.
So what we got here, we got Daniel saying, uh-oh, Gabriel is going to break it down for me. And here comes Gabriel. Gabriel says, 70 weeks, 70 week years, 70 week years. You was in battle for 70 years. I'm going to give you 7 week years to restore you. And it's going to take 490 years to restore you. I'm going to bring you back at the head of the nations of the world. There's no other nation on the planet. It's the smallest nation on the planet, but it's the most powerful nation on the planet because
amen
of Yahweh, because of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you?
That's right.
And if you want to talk about the church, one of the things about the church folk don't know that a saint of God is the most powerful person on the face of the earth.
Amen.
Why? Because they know the creator. They know the maker. They know
that's
the
right
redeemer.
Amen.
They know the crucifixion. They know what he done for me. A wretched sinner like me, undone, going to hell, swinging on the gates of hell. He comes along and disconnect the gates of hell and snatch me out of the pits of hell and by his blood.
That's right.
Now, you tell me that ain't power? That's power, brother.
That's power. Amen.
No,
you right.
Ain't gonna do that. The Islam ain't going to do that. The Baptists ain't going to do that. The Presbyterian ain't going to do that. The Scientologists ain't going to do that. No other deity or no other God or no other cult or denomination can do what Jesus Christ done. And that's why Paul said, at the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
That's right.
Why the world
is saying,
the world is laughing at, at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul said, preaching up the cross to those that perish is foolishness.
That's right.
And the world is saying, that's a bunch of foolishness. Somebody died for me. Somebody said, I don't need nobody to die for me. I'm good enough. I got my own religion. That's right. You got your own religion, because that religion don't belong to God. That's right. Since it don't belong to God, because religion is a fellowship, it's a service. And to know Jesus Christ is a relationship. I ain't talking about out of relationship. I'm not talking about on the top of my head. I'm not talking about on my bottom side. I'm talking about in my heart. When Christ comes in, it's the power of God that I can live above sin. Not saying that I don't sin, but I don't practice sin. I preach against sin. I mean every sin. I preach against anything. I don't compromise with you. And the prophets didn't compromise with you. And when preachers start compromising with the world and joining in with the world and believe that there's so many ways you can go to heaven. No, there's many ways you can go to hell. But there's only one way you can go to heaven. You got to come by the cross. And this is why Daniel was trying to understand this 70 weeks, this 490 years are determined upon the people. What people? The Jewish people. Upon what? The holy city. To finish what? To finish the transgression. What transgression? The transgression that we have done is going to finish one day. Animals couldn't do it. Bullocks couldn't do it. Red heifers couldn't do it. Turtle doves couldn't do it. Goats couldn't do it. It couldn't take away sin. It couldn't forgive sin. It was a type and shadow of a better sacrifice. And the better sacrifice that can take away sin, destroy sin, is the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, preach us. Come on,
amen.
Jesus. Come on.
That's right.
You can sing in the choir. You can wear your fine clothes. You can have your money. You can have your cars. You can have your jet plane. You can have mega churches. But are you preaching what God said? Preach.
That's right.
Preach my crucifixion, man. Because if you rejected it, hell will be at your front door.
Amen.
And the world said, and to make an end of sin. And sin can only end when Christ got up from the grave. Sin was getting ready to end, brother, because God's going to get rid of sin. Now, he can get rid of it two ways. You can stay lost if you want to, die and go to hell. Or you can accept Jesus Christ and go on to heaven. And the world is saying, I'd rather go to hell, brother. I'd rather stay where I am. I'd rather just be a little and be a choir director. I'd rather get up there and shout a little bit. But as far as me accepting, giving my life to Christ, I think I'm doing pretty good without it and doing so. But that ain't going to do it, because your own righteousness is as filthy, stinking rag.
Amen.
And it says the end of sin, end of every sin that man can commit. Every abomination, every whoremonger, he can get rid of that. Every liar, every cheat. Every homosexual, he can change that person and get rid of that sin in him, that he can become a new creature. And the Bible says, if you be in Christ, you are a new creature. All things are passed away. You cannot be a homosexual and call yourself a Christian. If you're a homosexual and you get saved, you're coming out of that mess. I ain't making no scapegoat for you. I'm not going to have my blood, your blood on my hand. If I don't tell you the truth, I'm going to end up in the wrong place. But God called me to what? Let you know to make an end and to what?
That's
to
right.
make reconciliation. Come on now. Bring it on back up in here. Bring that salvation that I could be reconciled back to God. Adam and Eve messed up. The first Adam messed up, but the second Adam, he brought reconciliation. And that second Adam is the one that died and was crucified. And got up out the grave on the third month. He can reconcile the world to himself. And the world now can be reconciled. But the world said, I don't want to be reconciled. Man, I don't want to go that way. It's too strenuous. It's too strict. I can't do that, man. I got to have my women. I got to have my drink. I got to have my, man, I got to have my carousing. I'm going to sing on the choir on Sunday morning, but I'm going to go out and crash myself tonight. You playing with God. That's what I
say. Amen. That's right.
And make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring an everlasting righteousness. Who brought everlasting righteousness? Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen. Holy, holy.
You shall be saved forevermore. You ain't going back in no right. You can't go back.
That's right.
You want to fall under the chastisement of God Almighty, and there's men in the Old Testament that fell under the chastisement of God Almighty, and one was David, one was Samson, Ahab, a lot of those men fell back, but they couldn't go back because God said, I'm going to have to take you, Samson. You done messed up.
That's right.
David, I'm going to bring my judgment. I'm going to chastise you. You see, when a Christian gets saved, he's saved. F-A-B-E-D.
That's right.
Ain't no
football
again. Ain't no football again. Ain't no 50 ball again. Either you're saved or you're lost.
That's right.
And if you're saved, then you ought to be working your salvation out. Fear and trembling before God and quit playing hanky-panky. And the
right,
everlasting
amen.
Right, and to seal up the vision and to and prophecy and to anoint the most holy, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, the most
Christ,
holy.
That's right.
Ain't no one holy than right. holy of the holiness of God. God
right.
is so holy that the stars are impure to his sight. God is so holy that he cannot stand to look upon wickedness. God is so holy that he was willing enough to save man and destroy wickedness through his burial, his death, and his resurrection. That's the only way he could destroy wickedness, because he didn't want to destroy man with the wickedness that he does. But man said, I'd rather go
That's
to
right.
hell and enjoy this little life that I've got, because you're only about 70 years and maybe 80 if you can make it.
Amen.
A lot of church folks are being judged inside
right.
of the church. Because they ain't doing right. They ain't taking communion right. They ain't treating each other right. They playing that I can't help it thing. You can help it. You don't want to help it. The only thing that can help you is the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
It's the only thing that can help you to get through. Now, here we go. Therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. It's going to take 49 years to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the streets of Jerusalem. It's going to take 49 years. And the 49 years that it took to build the temple, restore the walls, and that was during the time of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was called to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall, and Sanballat stood
mm-hmm.
by and talking about, hey, all those old feeble Jews, what y'all doing? Y'all ain't going to rebuild this city. And Nehemiah said, you betcha I am. And he said, now, if you want to start some trouble, I'm going to have guards on midnight. I'm going to have guards on the daytime. We're not even going to take baths. We're going to have shifts. You're going to have shifts so that we can rebuild the wall, because that was the 49 years that God gave Nehemiah and the Jews to rebuild the walls, because they need a wall to keep from the enemy coming in. And I can
mm-hmm.
understand, I'll go back a little bit. A lot of people just wanted to can President Trump for building a wall around Mexico to keep the ones that were coming in. They were just fighting, oh, let them come in, let them come in. And Trump said, no, we're going to build a wall without or with you. And now to this day, they don't want to admit it. He was right. If God wanted a wall of Jerusalem to protect Jerusalem, don't you think he want a wall around America? But America don't want no wall. They want everybody to come in, which I say, if you come in legal. But if you don't come in legal,
that's right.
stay where you at.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
Because we got people in this country that needs help, born in this country, raised in this country, that needs help. And I mean, I'm not talking about this lazy help where people are looking for hand-me-outs. I'm talking about people who really can't work, people who have got all kind of issues and need help. Now, help your own household first before you start stretching out. If they want to come in, come
That's
in
right.
legal. If you come in legal, you'll have some people that can produce and put in something into the country. Amen. Listen to what it says. We get
Amen.
On there now. It says, go forth the commandment, restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah. Shall be 7 weeks. And 3 score. And 2 weeks. That's 62 weeks there. So
mm-hmm.
if you take 7 times 7, you get 49. That's the first week. That's 49
right.
years. 3 score is 60, and 2 weeks is 62 weeks. You take 7 times 62,
okay.
you get 434 years. From the time that
Amen.
The Messiah will come, and the 434 years added on to the 49 years equals 483 years.
Right.
483 years 483 years put us where? I'm going to show you in just 1 minute. Let me get this scripture here. I want to read this, brother. I want to read
this. Okay, man, go ahead, brother.
In Zechariah 9:9, if you got Zechariah 9:9, you get that for me real quick if you can't, if I can find it fast enough. 9:9 says, look, what's coming. Look what's coming. He says, rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding up on an ass, and up on a coat, and on the foal of an ass. Who is that? Where is that? Where is he going?
Right.
That's Jesus Christ. Riding through Jerusalem right on time that fulfilled the 483 years that he said that I'm going to restore Jerusalem, and the Jews were out in the streets on palm leaves saying, oh, Hosanna, Hosanna, King of the Most High. We don't see what you all done. You done fed 5,000. You healed the sick. You raised at the dead. You cast out devils. Walked on the water. My God, look what you done. You was baptized by John the Baptist where heaven turned the radio on and a voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved son, hear ye. Wait a minute. And then you went into the wilderness, and then you made water to wine, and then you healed the brokenhearted. You healed the sick, and the people were so marred at it, and the religious leaders got mad at you. They wanted to stone you. So what they did, they let you ride through Jerusalem. But a week later, they say, crucify him. That means that he was cut off. And since he was cut off, the Jews were cut off. It fulfilled the 483 years of Bible prophecy, fulfilling the return of the Jews into the promised land. And let me tell you this, if you want to go just a little further, I'll back that up with Ezekiel down in the valley of the dry bones. When he said, these bones live, he said, who are these bones? He said, don't you know who they are? He said, no. He said, these are the lost tribe. These are the lost people of Israel. He said, now I want you to do something for me, Ezekiel. They can't talk. They can't walk. They brittle, they're fading away. I want you to go down there and preach to them. And when Ezekiel went down there to preach to them, the valley of the dry bones hears something. They hear something. And Ezekiel kept on preaching until he said, oh, ye dry bones. Israel was dry. Israel was scattered. Mm-hmm. Israel was almost cooked. Israel was almost done. But God said, preach to them. And when he preached to them, them bones came together, the ankle bone, the knee bone, the head bone, the shoulder bone, the backbone, the 32 vertebrae, the toe bone, the ear bone, the smallest bone in the ear came together, and they stood up on their feet. And when they stood up on their feet, he just said, now, wait a minute, you ain't got no muscles, so put some sinews on them. Put some sinew on them, and they receive strength. He said, wait a minute, I ain't through yet. He said, I don't know who you are. He said, I'll put some skin on you so you can identify yourself. Know that you are the children of Israel. And when did they get their identification? When were they notified? Hey, tell me in 1948 when President Harry S. Truman stood up in the United States Congress and told the world the Jews have a right to become a nation on that same day, May the 14th, 1948. The Jews again begin to restore back into the land. They start coming from all corners of the earth. They call them Aliyahs. There's about 7 Aliyahs. They flew in planes. They came in cars. They came in everywhere. Why? Because the Lord told Ezekiel, he said, after I get them on their feet and restore them, I'm going to bring them all back into the land. And today, the Israelites are back into the land. And they're preparing to do what? Preparing to restore Jerusalem in the right place. After President Truman signed the declaration that they become a nation. We come down to 2016 when Israel didn't have a capital city. And by them not having a capital city, somebody came along called Trump. Trump came along and said, well, before I get president, I'll tell you one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to restore Jerusalem as the capital. I'm going to restore Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and bring the embassy back. And President Trump did it. And by that, President Trump was blessed. He was blessed because he obeyed what God called him to do. And out of all the, from 1948, there was no president ever did anything like that because, number one, the fullness of time had not come. And now the fullness of time is here, and Israel has a capital because without the, Jerusalem being the capital of Israel, Jesus Christ couldn't come back because that's the city that he's going to rule and reign from after what? After the 7-year tribulation is over. After the 7-year tribulation is
That's
over,
right.
Israel have fulfilled what? The 49, the 483 years will be fulfilled. But hold on just 1 second. Hold on one, just 1 second. This is so good to me.
Amen.
I don't know what this
Amen.
Is. I'm gonna let you know. Let you know what it says in the book of 9. Let me get this real quick. I got the 483 years done, the 483 years in the book of Daniel. It says, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 80, and 2 weeks shall be,
right.
The street shall be built again in the walls even thereof, and then the 80, 62 weeks, and the people of the prince. The people of the prince is, in that time, it was Titus that
That's
destroyed
right.
Jerusalem.
Amen. That's
and
right.
Titus destroyed Jerusalem, just like the Antichrist is going
Amen.
To come and try to destroy Jerusalem in the last day. But then he could not destroy Jerusalem until they had the temple built and there was offering sacrifices. And he took a swine and went into the holies of holies, the place where God abodes with the Ark of the Covenant. And he took the Ark of the Covenant and took a sow and slaughtered it. And put it in the holies of holies. That's the abomination of desolation in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it was a type and shadow of what's going to happen in the New Testament time. And the New Testament time, the Antichrist is going to go into the holies of holies of the temple, which the Jews are going to rebuild. And by them being able to rebuild it, they're going to find the Ark of the Covenant. They're going to get the two heifers. They're going to try to go back into Judaism. But by what Christ has already done, nobody can undo it. Nobody can do it. Because at the name of
That's
Jesus,
right.
every knee is going to bow. And then they tell me, after God has destroyed the temple, that's what Jesus was talking about when he told the disciples, the end shall not come. Until the first thing that's going to be fulfilled is the destruction of Jerusalem. So Jerusalem has been destroyed in 70 AD. In 70 AD until this present day, Jerusalem has not had a sacrifice. They don't have a temple. But now they're getting the priests.
Amen.
They're getting the temple together. They're getting all the priests and they're getting all the sacrifices. They're going to slaughter animals again. Why? Because they still don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Guess what?
That's
what it says. And shall be, it says, and be cut off, but not for himself. The crucifixion. Jesus was cut off. He didn't die for himself. He didn't die for the angels. He didn't die for the cherubim. He didn't die for the demons in hell. He died for humanity, and he was cut off.
Amen.
And
Amen, brother. We only got a couple. Amen, brother. Amen.
Shall,
I'm sorry I have to cut you off. We got a few minutes left. Amen, Minister Elder Bazaar.
Okay.
What we're going to do is we're going to have to continue this, amen. So we're going to talk to the, amen, because like you said, this is getting
amen.
Good. And amen, if you want to expound on it, if you want to go another week, we can definitely, we'll talk to Derek and the Chaos team and see if that's something that we could do. Amen, brother. We only got a few minutes. I hate to cut you off, amen, because I know how it is, amen, when you're on a roll. And
I
amen,
know,
so I'll take all the time. Amen, we only had an hour and a half allotted tonight, but. We will
continue. Okay.
And if I have to push back my my Revelation studies another week, I'll do so. So we'll do that. And we'll be back on the air next Saturday night, 6 p.m. Central, 7 East Coast, 4 o'clock West Coast time. We'll continue this, brother. We only got a few seconds left. I thank you so much
okay.
for coming on. I love you so much, brother. And I thank you. This was
love
great.
You too,
I was
brother.
Really
love you.
I'm looking at it, but. But we're going to go ahead and shut it down because I know we're going to get cut off in a minute. But I'll be talking to
right.
you soon. And thank you. Thank you all for
okay.
listening. We'll do this again next week, okay? Is that all right?
Okay, got you covered. God bless you.
All right. Yes, sir. God bless you, brother.
All right.
Love you all. And you all have a good night. Thank you so much,
good
brother.
Night.
I'll be talking to you soon.
Good night, Reverend.
So, which I will. All right.